Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to another episode of Love Letters Live, where I am so thrilled to be able to bring you wonderful guests who have interesting and compelling and encouraging stories to tell, and then a love letter to follow, because I think that every one of life's experiences has the seeds in it of a love letter to someone. Someone you remember, someone, and far beyond romance. We're not stuck to love letters for just romance, although those are delicious, but to old friends, to people who are not your friends yet, but you would like to invite into a friendship. For apologies, those are wonderful. For just reviving times gone by, for picking an old friend and sending a letter that says, "Do you remember when we were 10 and we, whatever it was?" It is a gift of gold in that pile of otherwise dismal junk we now call mail. So with that encouragement to you, I want to go to our guest today, who is Baseball Mary. And many of you may know her. I have been really fortunate enough just to have met her. My daughter and son-in-law went to have dinner at the Clement Street Bar and Grill and met Baseball Mary. That's where she works in the evenings, and came back. And my son-in-law gave me her card and said, "You want to talk to this person and you want her on your radio show. She's wonderful." So apparently everywhere she goes, she does spread some good cheer and some interesting interesting ways to live a life. So Mary, I'm going to go to you. And why don't you just tell us, give us a little bit about you and where you're from and how you were raised and how you came here. And I want to get to what made you Baseball Mary.
Okay. Well,
your good brothers
morning.
And sisters?
I have a younger brother who is also a very big baseball fan as well. And my niece's husband just recently got a job as a number two broadcasting man for the Trenton Thunder in the Yankees organization, which is very, very exciting. And the funny thing is, he was kind of afraid to tell me because he knows how I feel about the Yankees.
But you feel that way about every other team, right?
No.
Oh, you don't dislike them equally?
Oh, goodness, no.
Okay.
And I like many, many teams. I only hate two. I hate the Yankees and the Dodgers.
I did not realize that. I thought your love for the Giants, like, put a, you know, a bag around the rest of them.
Oh,
so not necessarily.
Certainly my loyalty lies with the San Francisco Giants. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But there's many teams I'm fond of. And I'm still somewhat of a Red Sox fan from my youth as well,
so
growing up in Portland, Maine. That's right.
And so how old were you when you came here and what brought you here? And
well, I was 19 years old and I just really wanted to get out of there, quite frankly. There were a few things to overcome, some difficulties that I wanted to get away from, and I needed some space. And I certainly wanted to come to San Francisco because it represented freedom to me. It represented, you know, all things exciting and wonderful. And
like what? I mean, what did you know about San Francisco?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the Summer of Love, of course, this was after that.
Yeah.
You know, this was in 1979. But
were you here for that Summer of Love?
Oh, goodness, no. I was only a child then, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was born in 1960.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So all of that, like free thinking, free spirit, no snow to shovel, that was a big deal too. And I just really wanted to come to California, and I knew that I wanted to be in San Francisco, and it's the best thing I ever did. I'm very, very happy that I did it.
Now, was that difficult for your parents to see you go? Or that was just
your
decision?
My mother was gone at that point.
Oh, I didn't realize.
She died when I was a child, but it was totally my decision.
Okay.
I'm just happy that I did it.
Yes. So you went with freedom and lightness. I mean, you didn't have anything making it difficult for you, except getting here. I mean, that's a big thing. You have to.
It was, and it was difficult. My brother was a lot younger, and it was. But that's what I wanted to get away from.
Yes.
So I'd rather not talk about
that. Okay, no, that's okay. But I'm just curious. Like, did you fly? Did you have a job here before you came?
No, I didn't have a job. I had a job there, and I saved my money, and I got here as soon as I could.
Okay, so you had planned it. Yes, I see. Okay, and when you got here, what happened?
Well, first I almost dropped down and bowed to the altar of Mary Tyler Moore because she was inspiring to me to move to a big city. And I didn't really know anybody. I knew somebody, but it
I'm surprised
wasn't
we haven't
so
seen
good.
Each other at that altar.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that show. Okay.
Yeah, she was definitely inspiring to me.
Good.
And, you know, the whole idea that you don't have to graduate from school and get married and start having babies.
Right, for sure you
know,
don't.
Thank
anymore.
God.
Yes.
I certainly left that, and I'm
But
very,
what are
very
the details?
Happy.
I think this would be helpful to people. Like, how do you go about looking for an apartment?
I was young and I was dumb. I was young and I didn't have any. Anything holding me back, mm-hmm. and truly, I just thought if I went around, looked at the newspaper and went around looking for an apartment, that I would find one. And so it took longer than I thought, but it did happen. So,
but you didn't have friends that you were staying with or anything?
I had somebody I stayed with for a very short period of time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't an option for the long term.
I understand,
Term. So I just found an apartment, and I got a job, and had I asked anybody or listened to anybody, I probably would have been, talked out of it. You just can't move to a city and do that.
Yes.
So I guess that's my message. I think people should just do what they want to do.
And not be limited by other people's perceptions.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
really a very good message.
Exactly. And of course, youth is very good for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Youth is wonderful for that. And I don't think I would do it again.
Oh,
but
then you're
I'm
very lucky you
old.
Did it.
Yeah. But then again, I don't want to be anywhere else either. This is exactly where I want
to be. I wish this were a television moment because Baseball Mary is wearing a Giants shirt.
A jersey,
thank you. And mm-hmm. she is all orange and black. And so how did you become, is the job you first got what you have now?
No.
Oh, so you.
No. Uh-huh. I've had a few different jobs, but uh-huh. I tend to stay at one job for a long time. But
what happened with baseball? How did that get under your skin?
Well, I did like the Red Sox when I was a kid. There's no doubt about that. I think a lot of that had to do with that I really liked Carlton Fisk and Bill Lee as a teenage girl. That might have been had a lot to do with it. And it was something that connected my younger brother and I.
Uh-huh.
But I moved to San Francisco and I went to my first Giants game in June of 1980.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. It was at Candlestick Park. And, most people think Candlestick Park is a horrible place. I loved Candlestick Park. Mm-hmm. And I do remember approaching the concourse, and it was windy and cold. And as soon as we got on into the confines, and I saw the field, and it was a night game, too. And I saw the field, and I was just overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed. I got tears in my eyes. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen.
Just the physical beauty of it.
Oh, the physical beauty
of it.
Yes. And then Vida Blue, he uh-huh. pitched that night, and he pitched beautifully, really, really beautifully. And the next morning, I was reading the Chronicle. And they were talking about, cold, ugly, windy Candlestick Park, and it was a terrible night. And I remember reading this article and thinking, were we in the same place? Oh. What are they talking about? It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Well, you were not in the same emotional place, for sure. You were in a place of gratitude and wonder.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. My eyes were huge. It was a really terrific thing. And so Vida, every once in a blue moon, I'll run into him someplace around town. And
still?
Yes, yeah, still. And I haven't seen him for a couple of years, but I'll see him at the ballpark. I'll see him other places. And he's wonderful. When I told him, I attributed the monster that he created. And he's pretty good with that. He has a good time with that. He enjoys it.
And so you've gotten to know a lot of the players over the years, I would imagine.
Yeah, I have. A few things happened. Of course, I fell in love with baseball right away.
Mm-hmm.
And
as an adult.
As an adult. And I went to a lot of ball games, and I think I probably took it for granted that, they would always be here.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost lost the San Francisco Giants
to an investment group in
Florida. It was horrific. It was really, really horrible. And I was really, really upset. I volunteered for the, Keep the Giants in San Francisco campaign.
I would bet you did.
I did a lot of work there, and it was huge to me, really, really huge to me. And then we were saved during the off season. So opening day of 1993, when it was clear that the San Francisco Giants were going to stay in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
That was like a rebirth. And that's when I remember thinking and swearing that I would never, ever, ever take them for granted again and support them as best I could.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a really wonderful thing. And then
there's so many ways to create family in this world today.
Oh, absolutely.
And this sounds like they've become your family.
Oh, absolutely. There's
and
no
you
doubt
theirs.
About it.
Yes, okay.
And then in 1995, there was a very, very silly hot dog recipe contest. And the winner of that contest would go to Chicago for the weekend. Stay in the same hotel as the Giants, go to a game in the corporate seats of the Vienna Beef Company, who were the sponsors, and get a tour of the hot dog factory.
Uh-huh. What was that like?
Actually, it was fine. It was really fine. The people were just so lovely and so sweet. You know, and they also said, you know, you don't have to do the tour if you don't want to. Uh-huh. But I really felt that I should honor them because they had honored me so nicely.
Oh, how nice of you.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was really great. And I met a lot of people on the Giants team at that point. And Dusty Baker and I, we just hit it off. And he's been very, very good to me, you know, and all the years, you know, presently is as well.
We use it in friendship, good to you.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And the Giants organization has been very kind to me too, but they really are the model on how to treat their season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. It's really amazing what they do.
So what role have you come to play? I mean, I'm seeing that it's a really important role that you have forged for yourself as Baseball Mary. You know the players, they know you. Is there something at every game that you do? I noticed that your baseball cards are fabulous.
Yeah, they're fun.
And can people buy these?
No. I give them away. I get a couple of thousand of them a year.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I have 12 different cards.
And you can see them on your website, these cards.
Some of them you can, yes.
Okay, so let's give our listeners your website. And I would just advise you, dear listeners, please go to this website and take a look at this woman and what she does and her cards and her whole attitude. And her website is?
BaseballMary.com.
BaseballMary.com.
That's correct.
So let's get back to what do you do at the games?
Really, I just enjoy them. I truly just enjoy them. I am a fan. That's
so you're just in the stands.
I'm in the stands. For the most part.
Well, I didn't know if you had some kind of semi-official.
No. Well, uh-huh. I'm a super fan. I've been referred to as you know, part of the Giants family, which is a lovely thing.
Yes.
You know, and I have been afforded a lot of courtesy. You know, sometimes I get a field visit or something like that. And it's
so fun. You are a special family to them.
I like to think so.
Well, it sounds like mm-hmm. it. It certainly sounds like it. So if they needed something from you, they know that they could call on you if they needed some favor for you to do in the community or...
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
But what I do in the community, and I do this on my own, mm-hmm. is I do a benefit party in my home every January.
For
someone different every year.
Oh.
Although the last 2 years I did it for the same organization, and that is Hospice by the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They do such amazing work, and I really, really think that I'll be connected with them forever. Forever. Mm-hmm. Next year, I'm going to be doing it for something involving Alzheimer's, and I'm not exactly sure what yet. Who exactly? You know.
Well, so you are a very sweet, loving, powerful woman.
Well, I think that we as human beings, it really is our duty to use what we know how to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has some kind of talent. That talent to do something for the world. I really, really think it's imperative. And part of this, when I started. It was really motivated by the fact that I've ran control in San Francisco, mm-hmm. you know, that I've survived so much and I've survived so much in this town. And I'm eternally, eternally grateful. And I have a big, beautiful 2-bedroom sprawling flat with a Golden Gate Bridge view. Mm. And, you know, I'm so, so, so lucky. And I realize that. And I will never take that for granted. And I really feel like it's my duty to use that space to do something for the world. I do a benefit party.
I could just cry listening to you. That's so wonderful. So you do this in your home?
I do it in my home in January.
How can people help and take part in the fundraising and donate?
They could donate just about anything. They could donate raffle items or they could buy raffle tickets. And that's where the money comes from.
Okay, as opposed to just going on your website and writing a check to the charity of your...
They could do that. They could do that as well. My the agreement that I have with whatever organization that I'm benefiting
mm-hmm.
is that any monies coming from my party, that nobody will be put on a donor list. That's really important to me, too.
What does that mean?
That means I don't want myself nor any of my guests...
Oh, their names.
Yeah, to receive any mail from... any solicitous mail from the organizations.
Uh-huh.
And they've been really quite good about that. And I think that's also something that is attractive to the people that are donating.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
So who, if I may ask, have become your friends from the Giants teams?
Well, oh my gosh, it's been a while. Everybody's so young, I don't know these new guys.
But you probably will. But well, who are maybe the old guys?
Maybe, yeah, the old guys. Well, like I said, Dusty, he's my all-time favorite. There's no doubt about that. There's been lots of people that have been very good to me. Joe Nuxall and Marty Brenneman of the Cincinnati Reds were exceptionally lovely. And we lost Joe a few years ago. He was just an amazing, amazing guy. He was actually the youngest player to ever play Major League Baseball. He was 15 years old during World War II, and he went into the Reds organization then, and he was there, you know, pretty much until the day he died, many, 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 many years later, 55, 58 years later, something
And
like
what
that.
About our Giants?
I don't know a whole lot of people on the Giants right now.
But what about earlier? Were you friendly with some of them earlier?
Oh, yeah. Jeff Kent was always really good to me. Barry's always been very nice to me. You know, I really feel bad about everything that happens with Barry and around
isn't
Barry.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. It's sad. It's really, really sad. Yes. And I think it's, you know, the media does a lot. And they've been very, very, very damaging. And I like to tell people, you know, I'm from New England and we don't like witch hunts. We didn't like them then and we don't like them now.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame. And it's a sad commentary. It really
is. So how do you see yourself? I mean, I'm wondering, and of course I'm not in charge of anything. I certainly wish I were, that when the games are on TV and the announcers are there and there's quite a variety, wouldn't it be nice if they gave you a little two-minute spot to say something or do something? Would you like that sort of thing, or
I don't know. I love my life just the way it is. Yes, I really, really do. I don't have ambition. I don't care about that.
Oh, you know, I didn't. Yeah. Yes, I didn't actually even mean it in terms of ambition for you, but just for you to get to share more of your enthusiasm.
Oh, that's
and zeal.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's fun. You know, really, I really, really like the way things are right now.
That's
I
very
really
nice.
Do. I really
yes.
do.
And so your days are free to.
Yeah, my days are free. My days are free to, oh my God, just do just about anything, which is just exactly how I like it.
Isn't that nice? So when you're working at night, do you get to wear the jersey and so people can know you as Baseball Mary?
No. But I do wear an orange tie. I do wear a Giants tie.
So how did my daughter know who you were?
I probably dropped a card off.
I see. Okay.
Most likely. That's the way that works.
Well, this is a really uniquely San Francisco treasure, Baseball Mary is. Yes.
Why, thank you.
So let me ask you something, because we're about love letters and gratitude, and you talk so much. I mean, I can see that your whole life is lived in a pool of gratitude and that you're aware of it so much.
Yes, absolutely.
So I like to ask, who would get your love letter today if you were to write one right now?
Oh my gosh, that's tough.
It's supposed to be tough because, well, it doesn't have to be, but if it's tough, that's nice. It means there are probably lots of candidates.
You know, there are. It would be really hard for me to pick one particular human being.
You don't have to, because love letters is a way of life. Mm-hmm, and why not sit down? And when you have that feeling of gratitude overwhelming you about something, sit down and just drop a note to somebody and express it.
Well, let's see. I think, kind of figuratively, I would like to write a letter to baseball itself. But specifically, to the organization of the San Francisco Giants for a lot of different reasons. And not for selfish reasons, exactly. I mean, partly, yes, but not really exactly. I'm just extremely proud of them because of the things that they do in the community. In 1995, or possibly it was 1994. I think it was 1995. They were the first team to do a fundraiser for AIDS. And that was really it was groundbreaking. It was incredible. It was fantastic. I think they took a lot of slack from, you know, some other teams, and they just stood their ground and really stood up for what they think is right. And that I think connected me to them in such a way that will never, ever be able to be broken.
Okay. So all that you just said, that those three beautiful descriptive long sentences, that is a love letter. That is a love letter. Dear, I don't know who you'd address it to. I mean, maybe the owner, maybe the one of the guys on the team for him to share, but to write that down and send it would be such a gift. And if you think that people who are celebrities have enough attention and they're not moved by a love letter, They are.
Oh, sure.
You know, by the way, we had one of our guests, a man named Dan Field, came up from L.A. to do a show with, and he did a love letter to Siskel and Ebert. He loved them. He loved them from the time he was a child. They were kind of beacons to him artistically and in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a love letter to Roger Ebert, who was ill at that point.
Yes.
And it was a thing of beauty. A good fan letter is one of the best kinds of love letters. I hope you'll do that.
I could do that.
And mail it to someone.
I will. And I know now I know who I'll mail it to,
okay.
Actually.
Okay. Yeah. So you were saying there's so many choices.
You mean as a recipient?
Oh, and wait a minute. I want to ask you something else because you touched on something very dear and very important. You said you wanted to write them a love letter about things and not selfishly.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the key elements of a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
It is not selfish. It's a gift custom designed by you for someone else. And it's not selfish because you're not talking about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
A love letter is you're talking about the other person and all that they mean to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And their greatness. So a love letter is never so selfish.
I could do that. I'll be
so,
doing that.
So who else were you thinking?
I was thinking of the people in the front offices of the Giants themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of the Giants right now, he also actually is a neighbor of mine. And it would probably go to him because the principal owner of the Giants, when that happens, was not who the principal owner of the Giants is now. There have been changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he has been a constant, so I'd probably do that.
Okay. And how often do you think the people in the front offices, by the way, get letters?
I can imagine they get a lot of letters.
Oh, do you think?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I mean to them so. Personally for what?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea. I actually just saw him yesterday. I went to a luncheon that he was doing at the City Club yesterday afternoon.
Because, you know, also these love letters, it's your history.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're so involved with this athletic team, it's their history.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have a feeling that a letter that you send or letters that you send would end up in their archives.
Oh, perhaps.
You know, and be found letters someday.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. I'm really, really grateful to all of the friends that I've met across the country in different ballparks. I've been to 41 ballparks.
Oh, I was going to ask, you travel then?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. I do. I really wanted to get them all done by the time I was 50, and I did, which
good
was
for
really,
you.
Really, really terrific. And I've met some wonderful people everywhere. Mm-hmm. Really,
that you're
really,
still in touch with?
Yeah, some of them I'm not. You know, mm-hmm. It was, you know, for the time and the day,
yes.
And
mm-hmm.
It was perfect. And it's been a lot of fun. You know, they've had me lead the crowd and take me out to the ball game and ballparks and put me on the big screen and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
But I have good friends in the left field bleachers at Wrigley Field, who I think are just fantastic. They're absolutely fantastic. And that is a community unlike any community anywhere. And
in
they
what
are
way?
Such oh they're so such a tight knit group, and they are a family in and of themselves, and they watch out for each other. And when people get, you know, when people get sick, they take care of each other. We've mm-hmm. lost a lot of those folks. Mm-hmm. There was one woman, her name was Carmela Hartigan, and Carmela would take two buses to Wrigley Field and climb the ramp and sit in the bleachers until the final baseball season of her life, and she was 100 years old.
Oh my!
Yeah, it was amazing. And then people took care of her and made, you know, and, you know, brought her home and all that. But
does she have family or children?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not know. There's a lot of, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. But another woman named Stephanie Leathers, she used to write a paper called The Bleacher Banter. And that was of great service to a lot of the Cubs fans. And mm-hmm. and she died a couple of years ago. And my friend Ellen Shockley, she's adorable. And they're so sweet. Last weekend, the Cubs hosted the Dodgers. And in my honor, they wore Giants jerseys.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
Very nice. Very sweet.
Because one of the things that you do, the reason you are an inspirational person, really, is because of the joy that just follows you everywhere. You bring kind of good, clean fun and joy in your wake.
Well, you know, the way I look at things is...
It's nice for people to see.
Yeah, well, there's a yin and yang to everything. And there's a lot of horrible things in the world, but
yes.
There's a lot of fabulous things in
That's
the world.
Right.
And to accentuate the positive and eliminate mm-hmm. the negative mm-hmm. as best that we can is the greatest gift that we could give to ourselves.
Okay.
Absolutely, positively. Yes. And in doing so, that is the energy that you exude and put out into the world. And in the bigger picture, it's the best thing you can do for the world and everybody in it.
I agree. And you talked about something. You were talking about the energy. And, you know, as in love letters, when you write them, you just are bathing in the positive. The negative does not interfere. Because it's not to say that some people shouldn't get a negative love letter, and people are entitled to write them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're not love letters. And because I focus on the love letters, that's the healing joy of bathing in the positive. When you think only of somebody's good qualities, you find that your breathing goes easier and you're smiling, and it has a very big effect.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you see, I mean, maybe you don't, but it's just a kind of a question. How do you see your future as Baseball Mary?
Oh, just more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like to live in the moment a
lot. Good for you.
And being a Giants fan, these moments are really pretty wonderful, because they haven't always been.
Does it take your heart out when they lose a game badly?
It hurts. It does hurt. It really does. But I have to tell you, my heart has been broken many, many times.
That's what I'm wondering.
No doubt about that. But, I tell people that, yes, I am a big Giants fan, and long, long before it became fashionable, because there's a lot of, bandwagon jumpers out there, which I suppose is okay.
Does it break your heart, for example? I mean, it does mine when Barry Zito is out there and gets booed by the stand.
Absolutely.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. I mean, his performance has been so disappointing. I also think that they never should have given that kind of money to somebody. I think that just
that's crazy.
Mess up
the money is crazy.
You know, forgive me, Barry, for saying this, but especially to a left-handed pitcher. I mean, you just don't do that to somebody who's got to be,
Yes, the expectations
and the
world of crashing and disappointment. Exactly. We're all human.
Exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
Then we get mad at them for being human.
Yeah.
That's a little unfair.
Which is unfair. And the thing about it is, with him in particular, is that he's such a class act. He's such a great guy. Let me tell you a story about him.
Please.
I have some friends, and they have some kids, a little boy, boy and girl, a brother and sister, who are just as cute as the day is long. And a couple years ago, they were having dinner in a restaurant on Chestnut Street. And the little girl looks over and she says, "Mommy, is that Brian Wilson and Barry Zito over there?" And Mommy had no idea, but Daddy knew. And and the reason that she knew that is because my seats at the ballpark are by the bullpen, where the pitchers warm up. And I've taken each of these kids to a ball game in the past. So they asked if they could, ask them for their autograph. And their parents said, "Well, we're not going to bother anybody when they're having dinner, of course. Mm-hmm. And maybe, if they're just sitting around after they're finished." And you're very, very polite. So what the kids did was they took some paper. I guess there were back of paper menus and with crayon, speaking of love letters, wrote them little letters crayon.
That counts.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely it counts. Like with an X and a line and an X and a line for each of them to sign. And they approached the table. And what these two gentlemen, and I do mean princes, these gentlemen said to these little kids was, "These are so beautiful, we'd really rather take them home and put them on our refrigerator if you don't mind."
Oh.
Then they, in turn, took a couple of
menus
and used the paper and wrote love letters to them.
Oh.
They escorted them back to their parents' table. They all shook hands. They chatted for a little while. They introduced themselves as if they were,
as if
that had been necessary. And then they went outside to the sidewalk and took pictures with them. It was really fantastic. And that's what our team is made up of.
That's
the
wonderful.
Kind of people
but there's an
have.
Exchange of love letters, and I bet those two men keep that crayon X and O for their entire lives.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, Mary, I want to thank you so much for coming to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The soul of Baseball Mary with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. I just wish everything good for you in life, because you're really a cheerleader. That is to say, in the best sense. You're kind of a leader that brings good cheer wherever you go. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so
much.
This
is Janet Gallen saying goodbye until next time.